In our last session, we discussed the importance of having the love of God poured into our hearts, which is God's promise to all those who belong to Jesus Christ. In this session, we discuss further the subject of God and love. We will talk about something which is not understood widely, even among Christians. It is this: we glorify God through our love of other people. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Paul writes that in everything we do, we should glorify God. And Jesus says our good works are for this purpose also. We can see a great Christian principle expressed here. It is this: our whole purpose in life is to glorify God. I'll say that again. Our whole purpose in life is to glorify God. People everywhere are looking for the meaning and purpose in life, and here it is, stated clearly, to glorify God. And it is mainly in our love for others that we glorify God in our lives. This could be the most important reason of all for us to love others. When people see love flowing from us as Christians, they can accept that we worship a God of love, and God is thus honoured by our behaviour. This can best be illustrated by considering the opposite. What reaction do people have to a Christian who does not behave as a Christian should? One who is aggressive, angry, irritable, argumentative, self-centred, complaining or criticising. The reaction is usually twofold: to call the Christian a hypocrite, and to react adversely towards Christianity and towards our God. I often hear people attack Christianity because of the way Christians behave, often citing the antagonism between Protestants and Catholics in Northern Ireland and so on. This is despite the fact that this antagonism is directly in contradiction to biblical principles and God's law of love. So we love others in obedience to God, and so that others, seeing God's love in us, will honour our God as a result. In particular, so that those who have not come to Christ will be intrigued and interested to consider doing so. Paul says in the Bible that he carefully considered his behaviour towards others so that he might win them to Christ. There is a wonderful example of this in the life of the Reverend Richard Wurmbrandt. He was imprisoned and tortured for 14 years by the Romanian communists. He was later describing a particular horrible form of torture to an inquirer. The person said, "What did you do or say when you were tortured so horribly?" Richard Wurmbrandt said, "We told our tormentors that we loved them because God loved them." One of the communist guards said, "I want to know more about this God who loves like that." This is an extreme case, but it illustrates the point very graphically for us. Every act of love, no matter how small, done in the name of Jesus, has the potential to turn someone towards our God. It gives God an opening he wants for his Holy Spirit to speak to the heart of another person. And who knows? He might bring that person to himself. Another soul is saved eternally because we were lovingly obedient to God and true to our faith in Jesus. As a result, we touched another life in a very special way, and God did what only he can do, and what he does magnificently: saved another lost sheep from eternal despair. Also, Jesus said in the parable of the sheep and the goats that when we help the poor, the sick, the lonely, the imprisoned, we are showing our love not only to them, but to him. This is the way we show our appreciation and love for Jesus, for what he did for us on the cross. Saved us from the worst possible fate, eternal separation from God, for the best possible future, eternal bliss with him, at the greatest possible cost and suffering to himself. So loving others is one of the most wonderful, beautiful, rewarding and meaningful things we can do in our whole life. We owe it to God, we owe it to others, and we owe it to ourselves to make it one of the great aims of our life, to learn about it and to practice it.